You are watching and listening to Chris and Lester Till I Die TV on YouTube and your favorite podcasts.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City football.
Come on, you foxes!
Listen on your favourite podcast platform or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Right, Chris.
All white there, all white up at the back. How the devil are we all? Good evening, fellow Fox fans. What a week, what a month. If you read the BBC or you follow the BBC at all and you go onto the BBC homepage for football, or then click through to the Leicester City homepage on the BBC, you'll see my Tuesday talking point. It's a defining month for Leicester, and it all starts with a little bit of a match on Thursday. This is Leicester Till I Die TV. This is where you can watch us and listen to us.
Listen on your favorite podcast platform or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
It is. It's Thursday. It's over at the Diego Armando Maradona Stadium in Napoli. Are you impressed I got that right? Thursday, the 9th of December. It kick off at 5:45 and it is a 90-minute shootout. 450 minutes we've played. It could go anyway. I'm not nervous at all. a word of it. I can say good evening to my guests. Craig is an old face, going well. He's with me every week. Craig, good evening.
Good evening.
Emilio, a Fulham, but more importantly for us this week, a Napoli fan. How are you, Emilio?
Hello, Chris. Hello again. Nice to be back on. Hi there, Craig. Nice to speak to you. Looking forward to it. You know, we did the two shows last year, Leicester against Fulham. Now, obviously, got the double header against Napoli. So, yeah, it's split loyalties, but it's going to be right down to the wire, isn't it? We actually called this out, if you recall, a couple of months ago. We thought this group would go right down to the death, to be honest.
We had that feeling, didn't we, Craig?
Yeah,
I think everybody seemed to have the beating of everyone else. You know, I don't think anybody's been consistent throughout the league. That's the problem, isn't it? That you get a good result and then you follow it up with a bad one.
Just for anybody that is watching, we have got a poll going on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube, get over now, Leicester Till I Die TV. Give us a subscribe. If you're watching on the YouTube stream, I should say, there is a poll. Where will Leicester finish in the group? First, second, or third? We can't finish lower than third. And at the moment, second is winning, which means that you're going to beat us, Emilio.
Yeah. I'm not too sure, to be honest. If we played probably 2 months ago, I would have said I think we would have won comfortably. But now, you know, after the winner, they had 8 consecutive victories in Napoli, beginning of the season, you know, joint record, play on form, scoring goals, you know, being a delight to watch. But the last 8 games, they've only got 12 points in the league. So they've had a lot of injuries. There's a key plays out for the next few weeks. So, you know, Napoli have got to win. A draw is not enough. That's the thing. So do they see this as a big enough tie to want to push themselves? To be honest, you know, I don't think they're going to be pushing 100%. They've got injuries. Serie A is priority. If they can win without playing at full strength, then great. If not, I don't think they'll be disappointed. I think the Serie A is, it's not a cop-out. I just think the priority is Serie A. With all these injuries piling in, it's you know, don't stretch yourselves, because they've dropped a bit of form in Serie A in the last 6 weeks, and wins are now becoming draws, and now they're starting to lose a few games as well. So, very, like, to your point, Craig, a bit inconsistent at the moment. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say you've only lost 2. You've played 16. You've won 11, drawn 3, lost 2. We'd take that form, wouldn't we, Craig?
I think so. I bet you've got more clean sheets than we've had. I think you're right. I think Napoli will, you know, prioritise the league. You know, European qualification into the Champions League is more important than winning this, I would imagine, in the overall scheme of things, not just for the fans, but also for the finances of the club. You know, in this day and age, no clubs can to go without. If they've got any ambitions, they need the money to keep coming in. So, you know, for transfer fees, wages, all of that, if you want to continue to be at that level, you've got to be bringing the money in, and the Champions League brings the money in.
Yeah. A quick few comments here. Blue Podcast, couple of blue hearts. Thanks, mate. Thanks for popping in. Andrew, evening, lads. And you, Chris. I'm not a lad. I'm the old man. Thank you, Andrew. I can block you, you know. He just followed that up by saying, all you need to do is get a corner. That is true. But he did follow that up with you getting your excuses in early, Emilio. And TM, the Spurs fans come in to watch us. Good evening, TM. Is that because you might not have a game this week? I have a feeling Conte might be happy if they don't go through myself. But I tell you what, it is so complicated on the last day. I mean, obviously, we're just concerned with our two teams, but for Napoli here, Napoli will finish first if they win and Spartak do not. Now, make notes, guys. I'll be asking questions after. Napoli will finish second if both they and Spartak win. Napoli will finish third if both games are drawn, or if they lose and Legia do not win. Okay, and then you've got Leicester. Leicester will finish first if they win, or if both games are drawn. Leicester will finish second if they lose and the other game is drawn. Leicester cannot finish below third. It's easy, isn't it, guys?
It was mad.
Yeah. I mean, at least it makes it exciting going into the last game, doesn't it?
I think I was going to say, what's the tactics going to be? Because I think Napoli have got obviously got the home advantage. You know, you know, they've been a bit, like I said, inconsistent the last few weeks, but they've got to go out and win the game. You know, draw, like you said, those, that proves my point. They can't, a draw is not enough for Napoli. So win or bust, basically. What's Leicester's approach going to be here? They're going to look to get, look for the, getting the minimum of the draw, or will they go out to actually try to win the game?
Well, the thing is, if we, if we're looking to get a draw, we know we have to score because we will concede. So there's very little chance of it being a nil-nil. So we have to come out and try and get a goal.
That didn't work. I was trying to highlight you then, Craig. It didn't work at all. Oh, there you go. There you go. It is a case of, we've just got to win, haven't we?
Well, I think, as I say, we've got to come out and score a goal because we're not confident of keeping a clean sheet. So even to get the draw, is we've got to score. So I don't think there'll be anything of us sitting back. It will depend a lot, I think, about the teams that both managers put out onto the pitch. But I don't think we can afford a slow start, that's for sure. We can't afford to let Napoli get a lead because, as we know, Italian teams are masters of holding out for a win. And with us even 2-0 up in the home game wasn't enough. So I think we have to come out and be positive and look for a win.
And Emilio, you're going to go into this as favourites, aren't you?
I don't think we are, funny enough. I don't think we are favourites. I just think, you know, injuries is going to be, there's some key players. You've got Koulibaly in defence injured. You've got Insigne injured. You've got Osimhen injured, who's been scoring all the goals at the beginning of the season. You've got my man, the Fulham man alone, and Gisa's injured. So there's some key players out there who are that core spine of that 8 consecutive victories in the Serie A at the beginning of the season, all out injured at the moment. So to be honest, if anything, both teams are not playing particularly well at the moment. I think both are a little bit up and down. I think you've underachieved this season in the league. I think you're struggling a little bit. I'm not sure why that's the case. Maybe the squad's
got to defend, I think. That's what it's down to.
The home advantage will play some part, but I just think with all the injuries that Napoli are carrying and how much do they want there, it's all about how much do they really want this victory. I think they'll try their best to win, but I don't think they'll be stretching themselves. I'll be surprised if they push themselves hard and pick up more in. You've got the Christmas fixture coming up, you know, and that's going to be key. That's that continuing momentum.
For this type of game, Emilio, do the crowd come out in force in Italy?
Not really. You know, they probably won't see it as a big thing. To be honest, I think you made a point earlier, Craig. It's all about Champions League qualification for next season. You know, they blew it. They should have been in the Champions League. They drew their final game of the season when they had home advantage against an inferior opposition. They blew that. They have lost their bottom. So they are where they are for their own reasons. But to be honest, they've been a little bit up and down, inconsistent. Like I said, they've lost a couple of games in this group. They did well to turn around that 2-0 deficit at your ground back in September when it was. But I don't think the fans will be disappointed they don't go through, put it that way. Mm-hmm.
I was about to ask that, actually. If you get here, like, you got Spurs fans, you know, don't want to be, I'm sure TM will back this up, they'd sooner not be in Europe and concentrate on the league rather than be in the conference, and Arsenal fans not wanting to finish in that position because they don't want to be in the conference. But, it's European football, but do Napoli see this sort of below them?
To some extent, yes. They've often got into this position in the Champions League. You know, they've done well to qualify Champions League for many seasons, but invariably they've always got into tough groups. You know, how many times they've had Liverpool in their group, Man City in their group, Real. They've had bigger teams in their groups, and they start off well. The home form is good, and unfortunately they lose their away game. And often they're not. They've finished third in the group despite having 9-10 points. I think the ones they beat Liverpool home and drew Liverpool away, still wasn't enough to win the group. So it's that consistency. Their away form in Europe historically is not very good. Home form better. They're a good force there, but it's about attitude. How much do they really want this game? And I with all the injuries piling, I don't see this being a priority. If they can win and you catch you on a bad day, then great, I'll take that. Get some match practice. The squad players can play in February when the Europa League restarts. But, you know, a club like Fulham, when we got to the Europa League final, it was a big thing for us. We played our strongest team. We had nothing else to play for other than consolidation in the Premier League. So the dynamics are somewhat different, but I won't be disappointed if Napoli don't go through, put it that way. I think it's
very important. Is the Napoli manager under any pressure at the moment with the downturn in form?
Not at the moment. He's, you know, could argue we punched a bit above our weight, to be honest. I didn't expect us to start off so well, hit the ground running really well with those 8 consecutive victories. He's a bit of a tried and tested manager, been around a few Serie A clubs, you know, stay a couple of seasons, then he moves on. But he's got the best out of his squad. He's playing exciting football. We're scoring a lot of goals. Well, we were up to a certain point, but now we're conceding. That's a problem. Where we were scoring and keeping clean sheets, now we're losing, you know, lost 3-2 to Atalanta at the weekend. You know, Natsadru, not a bad team. They're in the Champions League, you know, doing well. But, you know, we conceded three goals at home and, you know, that's not good enough. So, but you can see the squad's a little bit thin. And that's, and we're seeing that now.
Music to our ears, Craig, isn't it?
It does. But, I mean, we sound very similar, to be honest. The squad's not, even though it probably appeared from most Leicester fans' perspective to be strengthened, over the summer, I think the players we've brought in have struggled to come to terms with the Premier League, with the pace of the game, and therefore only probably Daka has stood up to it. So our squad isn't looking particularly strong when we've got probably, you would say, 4 key first teamers out. So I think there's a lot of similarities between the teams at the moment.
I mean, you say that. If we have a look at the recent form, as Emilio sort of touched on before, I mean, Napoli's form here, you can see, you know, the last is that 7 games there, they've lost 3, won 2, drawn 2. And yep, they are. I mean, you beat Lazio 4-0. That was a good win for you. But 2-2 with Saluso. Like you say, you lost to Atlanta. You are letting in the goals. And you look at that, and then you compare that to Leicester's. I mean, it's almost, you know, similar, again, 2 wins, 2 losses, and 3 draws, and letting in the goals. This isn't going to be a nil-nil, is it?
Famous last words, eh?
Well, yes.
It doesn't even Sassuolo. We played them midweek last week, 2-0 up away. Thought we got better consistency, and then we let, you know, we conceded 2 goals in the second half. So again, like I said, we're both conceding goals, and it has the makings of being a high scoring game, but it's, I think it's about attitude and tactics here. You know, I think both teams will be pushing themselves hard. I think who wants it enough? Do Leicester want this game enough? How disappointed would you be if you don't qualify? Maybe I'll ask you that question. I wouldn't be disappointed if Napoli don't go through.
I think the fans would be disappointed, and I think the way things are going, it just mounts more pressure on Brendan. Although we do have the safety net of European football that we would drop down into the conference, whatever happens. I think in many ways, and Chris, you know, you'll have your opinion on this. I think it's about the performance. Put up a good performance against, you know, a high-flying Italian side, and most fans would accept that. I think at the moment it's all about a word you've used quite a lot, attitude. And I think the fans want to see, you know, an improved attitude of the players on the pitch. So I think if we were to go down, I think if we went down in glory, it would be more acceptable than going down with a whimper.
I think that's it. I think, you know, Craig, you've hit the nail on the head there. And I think the disappointing thing is we've had 2 seasons, and yes, we might have been punching above our weight, but the performances were there. You know, and if we had the performances like Craig said, and we weren't winning, you kind of accept that because you know the players are given, but we're not getting the performances now. Whether that is down because Brendan's changing things week in, week out, and the players don't really know what they're supposed to be doing, you know, is a separate argument. I mean, at the start, when you looked at this group, I mean, it was called the group of death when they drew it. And I suppose, in fairness, we were due one, really, because we'd had a fairly easy group, if we're honest, in the Champions League. And we'd had a fairly easy group last year in the Europa. So it's about time we got a difficult one. But, you know, I wasn't expecting the group to go like it was. I mean, it reminds me of, is it Group F in the World Cup with Germany, France, Belgium, and I can't remember the Portugal and whatever. Anybody could sort of beat anybody in this group. And that's the weird thing. And I would be disappointed. I mean, the good thing is we still get European football. And I think from Leicester's perspective, it may only be the conference, but it's still European football. And for a club like Leicester, and this is probably the difference to Napoli, a club like Leicester, I think that would still be good for us. Napoli, probably, if you ended up in the conference, you'd not be horrible. You'd probably look down your nose at it.
And what's your attitudes toward Brendan Rodgers, you know, in terms of, you know, does he need more time? You know, he's done well for you. He's hit the dizzy heights.
Get a brew, put your feet up.
Yeah, you shouldn't have asked Chris that.
So I'll let Craig answer that before we go to some comments.
For me, I think he deserves more time, I think, to turn things around. I think we've got players to come back. I know things are not very rosy at the moment. But at the end of it, you know, I can't see changing the manager. Changing the manager at this stage of the season, for me, brings too many risks. I don't think there's any chance at all that Brendan will take this team down. I think if you bring in another manager, you never know. You don't know how the players respond. Yes, we've got enough talent to not be in it, but you never know what that brings. And it's that I'm in a position of better the devil you know for me at the moment. So I would take a little bit more time. I'm encouraged that he's coming out and finally seems to be recognising some of the faults. He seems to have had his head in the sand up to now, but now he's coming out, whether he feels he needs to because he's under pressure. But for me, there were a lot of good things in that Villa game in terms of going forward. You know, we should have had the game finished at half-time, to be honest, if we'd have taken our chances or made the most of the opportunities we had. But then it came back to bite us. So for me, I'm a stick with what you've got at the moment.
I would agree with that. I mean, certainly review it at the end of the season. But who could come in and do any better job? And like you say, you know, you can change managers all too often and too quickly. And you know, you bring another manager in, he's not got the players that he wants. He's not going to be able to bring a load in January. And then he's got players that might not fit in with the way he wants to play. So you actually end up after that initial bounce of being worse off. And I also think as well, it's kind of, we've had two very, very, very good seasons. It's almost like a reality check season, if you
like. It's like a leveling out.
Where we've had that, it's been let, you know, whenever you talk about who might break into the top four, they've only been talking about Leicester. Now you've got Arsenal coming back, Spurs with, you know, got a decent manager at last. They could, you know, could well end up in the top six again. You've got West Ham. So there's more competition out there. And we've got to, I mean, I get annoyed, as Craig will tell you, you know, some of the tactics and some of the ways we play. But, when you take your blue-tinted spectacles off, you've got to say it's a process. And I know I sound like an Arsenal fan now, but it is. It's a plan that he's got to bring the youth through. And, you know, people say, oh, let's get rid of this manager. Let's get rid of this one. Who's going to come in? You're not going to get necessarily Mancini or a big name because we're not a big club still, if we're honest.
And you genuinely worried about relegation? Craig, you're sort of mentioning he's not going to.
As I say, with Brendan in charge, I don't think we're in any danger. The danger would be if we made a change, brought someone in who totally decided to change, didn't like certain players, and then it causes all kind of uncertainty in the ranks. So I don't think there's any benefit in terms of where we are and the realistic levels of what we can achieve. I don't see there's any benefit at all in changing the manager at the moment.
No, I would agree. David, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? All to play for, no matter who you are. It is. I think even Legia can sort of qualify for something. You know, it's going to be, from the neutral point of view, it's probably the best group to watch. Mm-hmm. Terry, good evening. How are you and the dog? I'm not being rude to his missus. It is his dog. He has got a dog. He always goes barking when we come on. Rodgers has strongly indicated he's changing the system now and going back to man-for-man marking. Ale bloody Luyah. That's all I can say to that if he is. Good evening, Scott. Thanks for popping in. How are you, sir? Hope you're all well. Madison, Anacho and Dakar in the front three. Obviously, Madison in his cam role and we will stand a chance. Steve Reynolds. Good evening, Steve. How are you? Serie A first and Europa second. We'll take a win, but if not, I guess you may be a Napoli fan there.
And a Fulham fan as well, yeah. Nice, Steve.
Most definitely. Scott, unsure what formation I'd play. TM, Spurs are more interested in the Premier. Andrew said, I'd be happy with a good performance against the Dog and Duck. Scott, massively disappointed if we don't get first in the group and need to go with positive football on Thursday. You've got to go for the win, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think, as I say, you know, if you go down all guns blazing, you go down. Mm-hmm. And in the state of the way this season's sort of branching out or playing out, you know, even getting into the top six or seven is going to be a stretch forward. So, I think in some ways I'm almost tempering the fact that even if we did, you know, disappointingly drop down into the conference, it may still be our best hope of getting back into the Europa League for next year. So the fact that we are still in European football should be, a boost to the team. You know, as I say, and if you look at it in those terms, which is our best route back into European football next year, this cup and the conference are our best opportunities.
I mean, Amelia, I want to ask you that if we've got to try and get the first goal, and that's easier said than done for Leicester, but if we do, are Napoli the sort of fans that will get on the back of the team, or they put the players under pressure? They've got to come out and go for it, and I'm sure we will concede, but they might give us opportunities at the back. What sort of crowd, you know, are they that sort of crowd that they will get on the back of the players?
If it was a Champions League game, yes. If it was an all to play for, then in here, I think they'll be sympathetic of the injury situation at the club. I think their dream is to win Serie A. You know, it's been long, over 30 years since we lost one of Serie A trophy. So that's got to be the priority. The problem is they've dropped a bit of form. Inter have now started to push back up. Juventus, nice to see them struggling, but they're slowly sniffing their way back in as well, picking up on the quiet side, a couple wins here and there. So, you know, what was, you know, running away with top, you know, with Milan at the top, now they're back in the third place because of that inconsistent form. So I think the fans will, maybe to your point, Greg, as long as they give it a good shot, don't get humiliated, do their best, at least try to play for the shirts and badges, I'm sure they'll do, then I think the fans will be sympathetic if they don't win the game on Thursday night. But it's not, as much as I'd like to see this club winning a trophy, I think there's other priorities there. Is that elusive Serie A trophy? That's got to be their priority. And
correct me if I'm wrong, Emilio, but is this the first season that they've played with the stadium renamed after Maradona?
Yeah.
So there would be a certain poetic justice, wouldn't they? If they won it this season, it was Maradona.
Yeah. Was Maradona there last time that they won it? When I went, you know, I didn't see him playing league games. But when I was there in the summer, I used to go back home, on holiday. I was born here, but when my dad was from near Naples, and we used to go there in summer holidays for about 6-7 weeks. So I used to go and see the pre-season friendlies just before the beginning of the season in September. So I saw him play a few matches in, 80,000 capacity, same for a pre-season friendly. Incredible. So, but, you know, the fans are passionate. They like to win trophies. We've won a few domestic trophies over the years, but it's that Serie A. It's there within touching distance. You can smell it. It's impossible. And they've got so close in the last few years, and it's, you know, that's got to be their priority. But if they can win a trophy on the side, then fantastic. But I think the fans will be sympathetic to the cause, and they'll be grateful the fact that we're sniffing for a Serie A trophy. And that's a key thing for me. I think the fans, will take what comes, as long as they don't get humiliated.
I mean, Craig, we just need to play for 90 minutes, don't we? I don't think we've really managed that all season.
We are a team of one half. Whether it's the first half or the second half, but we rarely, I can't remember as this season stringing two decent halves together. And that's the frustrating thing. If we were consistently awful, you know, there would be this almost gallows humour. We would be accepting, you know, that we're not very good. The fact are, we can be fantastic. You know, as I say, that first, 20 minutes, I think, Villa didn't know what to hit them. We sort of came at them. We were playing all of the football. So it's there. Mm-hmm. It's just that confidence-sapping, letting silly goals in. You know, and I think Kiernan Dewsbury-Hall came out and said it in his interview. It affects the confidence when you concede again because you know how hard it is to score in the Premier League or in any top-flight competition. So to almost go onto the field knowing that you're going to have to score two to win, you know, it puts a lot of strain on them. But we've definitely have the talent in the squad. We just need to string it together over two halves.
I think the classic comment for me of the whole season so far was the Sky commentator at the weekend saying just as they'd got Villa had got a corner, he literally said sometimes getting a corner against Leicester City is as good as getting a goal. And the words hadn't finished coming out of his mouth, and Aston Villa put the ball in the net. Is it time for Ward, do you think? Give Michael a break? There's a lot of people are calling for that, Craig.
They are calling for it, but I don't... You know, I think when it's a situation like that, I think you forget of all the fantastic saves that he does make. He made a brilliant save in that game as well, but people forget that. You know, he's not as commanding in his area as he probably should be. He's not the biggest one for a keeper, but there's nothing to say that Danny Ward's any better at commanding his area. I don't think we've seen that. I don't think many people have watched enough Wales games to know that he's a commanding keeper. He's a decent shot stopper. When we see him play in the Carabao Cup, he's good at penalties and that. But for me, I think it's starting to come down to individual responsibility of players. If Brendan had come out and said, we knew what Consa did, somebody had a job to mark him and stay close to him, and they didn't do it. There's very little you can do if that's the case. I can see him going back to a back five, to be honest, and because I think he has to get to a position where he goes back to the two up front and get Iheanacho back up. And the only way you can do that really is by switching formation and going to a back five. Now, a lot of people say they don't particularly like Vestergaard, which I understand, but he does bring some added height. And if you're going to go to a back three, then you'd probably stick him in the middle as well. So I think he's got a lot of questions over the next couple of games. It'll be interesting to see how he lines up in both this game and the Newcastle game.
It's probably not going to shock anybody out here, but we're being linked with another Southampton defender.
Who now?
Alusia, somebody.
No, he's a midfielder. He's a wide player. He's not.
It said defender on the on the website I looked at.
Elianusi. I think the thing is, I think he had him at Celtic. I think that's just paper talk, to be honest.
Yeah. Emilio, you know, you're saying you've got injuries there. Who can you see being a threat to Leicester?
Yeah, good question. I said, if you look at, you know, Osimhen was one of the informed strikers in the world about 2 months ago. He's got an injury at the moment. You know, Insigne, you know, tried and tested the club. He's been there since childhood, and he's got an injury as well. So, you know, you've got Pruvit. So you've got Mertens, who's still no mug. You know, him and Vardy are very similar. You know, they've been around the blocks. You know, they've scored lots of goals for their clubs. You know, that's where the goals are going to come from. If Mertens can pick up some of his historic form, but you know, that's where it's going to come from. It's going to go from, you know, Mertens' goals. I think we've also got Politano. You know, who's playing, having a pretty good season. We've got Lozano as the other player on the wings. We've got some good attacking midfielders. Zielinski is always sniffing. He sort of comes in and out of games. You know, he's probably one where something can happen through him, but I worry that we've got that spine of the team out, especially defensively. You know, you've seen their statistics. We're conceding goals a bit too frequently at the moment. So it's, you know, if we're going to concede one, we have to find a way of scoring two goals, and that's why I worry. I don't know if we've got enough.
I wouldn't worry against Leicester, to be honest.
I don't know.
Wouldn't.
Obviously, Politano and Zielinski, I think, are going to be quite influential. And if they can provide supply to Mertens, then clearly we've got opportunities to score a goal or two. But we'll have to score two goals to go through. And I think that's a minimum. And that's my worry at the moment.
I think we could probably say the same. But Emilio, if you look at the team sheet when it's announced on Thursday, an hour before the game, who would you be more scared of seeing on the pitch? Jamie Vardy, who, you know, he's getting on a bit now. You know, he's still second, you know, in the goal scoring charts. Or Patson Daka, who put four away in one game in this group?
Either, to be honest. I think it's about pace. I think if you Vardy with his pace, I think we'll hurt our defence. I think that's going to, I think tactically Rodgers will probably play safety option there, to be honest. You know, he's, you know, quick. He, you know, our defence isn't as stable as it was a couple of months ago. We've got a couple of key injuries. So that's where he'll, you know, Brendan Rodgers will play to his strengths, in my opinion. I don't think he'll change it. I think he will be more up for it than we are. And I think, but you've got less to do. You mustn't lose, as we have to win. That's a key dynamic here. So yeah. You've got Maddison. Maddison's, you know, no doubt will start the game on Thursday night. So, and he's, and Iheanacho as well. Them two are, for me, are the two players I worry about.
Craig, forgot your name then for a minute. Craig.
There's so many of us.
There is. I have so many nicknames for you as well. We didn't see Vardy start at the weekend, which kind of made me think he may be starting in for this.
I think he will, and I think he'll keep Daka on reserve if he needs to bring him on, I think, and really go for it and push him back. The problem is, you know, if Napoli get ahead and then sit back on a lead, there's no space in behind, which is where Daka and Vardy like to play. You know, the bad news, Emilio, is that if he doesn't play Vardy, then Daka is even quicker than Vardy. So if either of those play, they're going to put your back four under a lot of pressure in terms of pace and playing in behind. Which means that I would think, you know, they may not particularly play a high line. I don't know if they play with a high line generally. I don't think that would help, to be honest. If you're playing with a high line, it definitely gives us an opportunity to get in behind. And particularly if Madison's playing, who can sort of thread some passes through. I think we've got enough firepower. You know, it's, as we've already said, it's keeping them out at the other end that's a problem. But I really like Mertens. I think he's a clever player.
Yeah, you know, the key thing here is all about, you know, if Napoli have the right attitude and want to take a couple of risks, they'll be pressing high. You know, they like to play an attacking brand of football, but you'll probably be not sitting back, but you'll be looking to force those mistakes in central midfield and start and use your pace. You know, typical Brendan Rodgers style of play, and that's why I think you'll see a lot of that. You'll probably see possession quite high in Napoli, play patient, build up football, try to press where we can, try to create a few set pieces, corners, and so forth, but you'll probably be praying for those mistakes, loose balls, and then try to take advantage from that. So it's going to be an intriguing game. It could go either way, but it's, you know, the dynamics is, you know, Napoli have to win, and, you know, draw is enough for you guys.
Good evening to Rich here from Rich Sports. We must be a very happy Man United fan. He's got Wreck-It Ralph in charge, and it looks like he's got things in hand straight away. Craig, we said there, you know, we only need a draw, but that scares me. If Brendan goes out thinking, yeah, a draw will do us, let's play for the draw, we're just going to get hammered, aren't we?
I don't think we'd get hammered, to be honest, but I don't think we're capable of playing for a draw. I think that's the truth of the matter at the moment. We always look better when we're on the front foot. You know, I would like to see Brendan just play a little bit more free-flowing and you know, and play almost in that almost lead style that they did last season. I don't think we work hard enough. I don't think we run enough to be able to play that, but in that sort of we'll score more than you kind of scenario, because all our talent is up front, to be honest, so we're quite capable of scoring goals. I think we just need to be a little bit more composed, pick the right option and not snatch at chances. We, as I say, in Villa, we could have easily had four or five goals there. And I don't think that's an exaggeration with making the right choices. So, yeah, I don't think there's any way that Brendan can send the team out to try and get a draw.
Brookline says there, Craig, Perez in the number 10 role behind Vardy and Nacho. I'm sorry, Brookline. You know, you could say we haven't lost with with Iosi in the team this year. I don't know, but it's got to be Maddison, hasn't it, Craig?
I think so, but you know, in many ways, there's room for both as well. If he goes for a back five, then you've got three, and with Wilf in front, and you're getting your width from your wing backs. You don't necessarily need Barnes, and you don't necessarily need Luckman. You know, you can play one of them, you know, more in field. I mean, Luckman's been playing quite a lot in field anyway. He prefers to be on the left, and when he's played on the right, you see him naturally come in field a hell of a lot. He's not playing as an out and out winger. So that playing with the five would enable him to put maybe two creatives in front of Ndidi to unlock the door and have two strikers in front of them.
Emilio, what formation do you think Napoli are going to go for?
Probably a 4-5-1, to be honest. I think they'll probably play the two wide men. That's how they like to play, to be honest. I think, you know, Osimhen's been a big blow for us, but Mertens, you know, the record goal scorer at the club, so he knows the back of that. A bit like Vardy, you know, you give him half a chance. Yeah. You know, he's still got that, you know, that quality in that 6-yard box in particular. It's about, I think it's trying to break through your back line. I think you're going to probably play back five, I think, Craig. I think you were alluding to it earlier. It wouldn't surprise me. You'll keep it tight in the back, try to force a mistake, and actually frustrate Napoli. I think that's what I think. If you start to frustrate the team then start to, you know, the fans may slightly turn. You know, you might, you know, possession. That's what Napoli are praying when they play. You know, play a good brand of football. They like to keep the ball, try to make something happen. And but if you start to frustrate them, start to create a few niggling fouls and all that, that will frustrate the players. And then if you take the lead, that's why I don't think we're good enough to sort of come back from a goal deficit to win the game. That's my concern. So it's about keeping it tight. So I think the first half an hour may actually be quite tight. You know, I know we all say there's lots of goals in this game, but don't be surprised, it's going to be quite cagey first 30 minutes or so. Who's going to get their noses in front? You know, who's willing to take that risk? Don't be surprised it goes to half time 0-0 and you then left with a 45 minute sudden death. So it has the makings of that as well. But again, it's who makes the fewest mistakes. Sounds obvious, sounds a bit corny, but if you can frustrate Napoli, then that's where you're going to have a chance to get the breakthrough. But I think it's a bit like a mini cup final, isn't it? Really,
yes.
You know, but it's great. It can go either way. I'd like to see the club do well, but not at the expense of, you know, winning that Serie A. So that's
I mean, Craig, would it be better if we went into this game having to win? You know, like I say, literally a sudden death. But we know that whatever happens, we're gonna have some form of European football, even if it's the Conference League. And like I say, me as a Leicester fan, I wouldn't be disappointed with that. But if it was an all or nothing game, would that not sort of...
I think you lessen your options in a game if you know you have to come out and win. Because if you come out to win and you concede a goal, you have very little option other than to really open yourself up and go for it. And then you're in danger of conceding. I mean, I think it's always better to have a fallback position. The fallback position is that you take the draw if you can get yourself ahead. So I think I know what you're saying in terms of it becomes clear cut that you have to go out and win. I think because there's so many different scenarios in this and the fact that we have, regardless of what happens, we've got European football next. I don't think it comes into that equation of all guns blazing and go out for it. I think Brendan will be quite happy that he's in a position where he can try and manage the game, and he knows that if it doesn't work, you know, we're still in Europe.
Quick, Scott says here, and it's actually literally picked my next question up here. If you're saying go five at the back, and I see where you're coming from with that, do you go as a 5-3-2 or a 5-4-1 or what?
For me, it's more of a back three with wing backs, and the wing backs giving you the width by not playing Barnes and Luckman. I don't think Barnes did anything to suggest that he's worthy of a start. He's, as I said before the game against Villa, in our preview, I said that he does not make intelligent runs off the ball. The number of times that we broke down that left-hand side, and you could see that Thomas was just wanting him to look as if he was going to run in behind because there was space between the fullback and the centre-half. But he didn't. He held the touchline. He wanted it to fleet the whole time. He's not showing that intelligence for me. And so, therefore, he's easier to mark out the game. I would prefer us to have a sort of triumvirate of three creative midfield players in there who can go wide if needs to, but can come inside and play and create space for wing-backs.
Yeah. Emilio, Andrew says there, hopefully the fans will behave themselves this time. is it going to be, like you say, or is it just going to be a fact that your fans turn up and go, well, you know, what will be, or, you know, or have you got, I don't know, I mean, have you got that sort of ultra group within the fan base at Napoli?
Yeah, no, there's obviously that hardcore team, you know, supporters of the club, you know, but they're more grounded supporters and more sort of the ones that go week in, week out, but, you know, more realistic in ambitions and expectations of the club, like, you know, like myself, you know, I think, you know, they'll as long as they perform well, I think, to Craig, you mate, it's all about performance and attitude. Mm-hmm. If they do the right things, you know, and keep it, I think it's about keeping it tight. I know they've got to go out and win the game. I still think Napoli will play a little bit cagily. Don't push too hard. Mm-hmm. Try to make something happen. Try to win a set piece. That's your point. If you're conceded from set pieces, mm-hmm. Belletti will know that, so he'll be preying on that. So try to stretch yourselves defensively, concede corners, concede a few, free kicks in danger areas, and then we can make something happen. I don't think there's going to be too many risks. You're not going to see a full-blooded FA Cup semi-final tie like you see at Liverpool, Man City. You know, it won't be that type of game. I think it'll actually be quite conservative. You might see a slightly different pattern of play developing, and it's all about being like Italy against Northern Ireland, the Europe World Cup qualifier last month. Mm. Mancini had to go there and win. And no disrespect to Northern Ireland, the squad's good enough to go and beat Northern Ireland. But what did he do? He reverted back to playing Italian football tactics to keep it tight, try not to lose a game, and try to make something happen. And, you know, they have got to go through the playoffs. So don't be surprised we see that style of football tomorrow.
I'm probably going to upset Amelia here, and I don't like to sort of typecast countries and the way they play. But rumours are, Craig, that Tom Daly's nipped over to Naples to give them some diving tips. allegedly. I think we might see a few Napoli players going down, though, tomorrow.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting. And I think the referee that you get in a European game is much more important than who you get in a domestic game, because you know, they're either lenient or they let or they clamp down on everything, and that can have a real impact on the game, particularly if one where we need to try and match Napoli's physicality, and it's something that we've struggled with in the past. So in many ways, we could probably do with someone who is less lenient and will clamp down on anything, and we can play that game, because when it comes to playing the tough guy, I don't think we've got any tough guys in our team at all at the moment.
No. I'm going to let you go, Emilio, but thank you so much for coming. Before you go, two things. First of all, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, private ones, Teddy Nello, and then obviously I do a lot of the podcasts on at Cottage Talk Fulham podcast. Do follow us there, please. So thanks for the
call. How are Fulham doing this season?
Very well, top of the league in the Championship. You know, that's they're the top of the table clash against Bournemouth on Friday night, which they drew 1-1. A good atmosphere in the ground against our former manager playing for, you know, managing Bournemouth. Yep. So, yeah, good times ahead. Hopefully, you can invite me back to your show next season when we'll hopefully play. We won't exchange, maybe. You won't get relegated.
I'm going to be honest with you. I would love that, but I would prefer you to come up as second, because I'd like Bournemouth to definitely come up, because that's only down the road from me and it's a home game.
Yeah, we're so far happy with the season so far. Scoring goals, exciting football, and you know, we've got lots to look forward to.
Good, good. And finally, a score prediction.
Clearly, I want Napoli to win, but probably going to be 1-1. I don't think Napoli will have enough to win, but, you know, hopefully I'm proved wrong. 1-1 for me.
Well, again, thank you so much for coming on. It's great to have an opposition fan when we're playing in Europe. And would be great to see Fulham. All joking aside, would be great to see Fulham back in the Premier League next season. So good luck with the rest of the season and the Championship.
Thanks for having me on. Take care, Craig. Nice to meet you.
Cheers, Emilio.
Cheers, Emilio. Take care.
Best team wins. Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Yep, may the best team win, as long as it's Leicester, Craig.
Yeah, I was going to say as long as they're playing in blue, but they play in blue at home. So
I'm going to say, yeah, you've got to be careful what you say. But we're going to be back straight after this, and this is what is coming up later. At 9 o'clock, it's a doubleheader tonight. Our last X on the pitch before Christmas. And as a bit of fun, we'll be going down the 20 Premier League teams, saying who's had a good season, who's had a bad season, who's exceeded expectations, who hasn't. So a little bit of fun coming up later on at 9 o'clock. Do you go 2 up front for this one, Craig?
I'm not sure he will, to be honest. I think we need to try that. I would like to see us doing that against Newcastle. I think, obviously, I'm not available for the Newcastle preview. So just to quickly touch on that, I think we need to get back to that. I know Brendan's come out and said Iheanacho doesn't fit in the formation that he's playing at the moment. But we had a really good run last season when he stumbled upon that 2 up front, and it worked very well. So I think he needs to try that again. I think 5 at the back, you know, with wing backs, was working really well for us in that formation. But then we tried it against Chelsea, and because it didn't go well, it sort of seems to have been thrown out again, and most of the fans were saying it didn't work. Yeah, it didn't work because you were up against a team that does that better. You know, Chelsea play that system. They just did it better than we did on the day. Doesn't mean that it's not a system that can bring rewards if you get it right. And it may be an opportunity to do that and bring a bit more stability into that back line.
Let's just go through a few comments here. Michael, good evening. How are you? David, I should say. I normally get that right. Brookline says, hey, good evening, Brookline. Spanish TV channel here was laughing that Barnes and Madison won't pass to each other. Can't say, have you noticed that?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, there was in the Villa game, there was opportunities where both of them should have passed to the other one, and we would have probably had a couple more goals, but they didn't. They went for goals when they shouldn't. I mean, the best teams, you know, the teams that are playing confident football, they don't care who scores. You know, they just make sure that the team scores. You know, how many times have you seen Barcelona just square a pass when they could have easily taken on the shot? I think we could have had 2, if not 3, clear-cut chances that I can think of where those two didn't pass to each other.
Is it... Going to play devil's advocate here, Craig, because
you do it so well, Chris. So.
I do. I have plenty of practice, and I've not been. I've obviously only been to one live game this season, which was Southampton. But the number of times when you see a player, and I think it's sort of you know you're buggered if you do, you're buggered if you don't. But as a player, and I was watching it in the Southampton game, that they got into a position where they could have a shot. Mm-hmm. And they decided not to. They decided to pass it, and the chance went. And I suppose either way, you know, like I say, buggered if you do, buggered if you don't.
Yeah, it comes down to the fact that it ended in a goal. And if it doesn't, your decision was wrong, and that's it. But I think there was at least 2 opportunities there that that they should have picked out the pass. As a player, you know when there's a chance to score and when somebody's in a better position, or you should do at this level. And they've got to do that. You know, they've got to be ruthless. Knowing what's going on behind at the moment, you've got to take every chance that comes along. So it was disappointing for me, and I was sort of screaming at the TV a little bit.
Yeah. You're going to have to explain that one, Brad. You're praying for second place. I don't understand why.
Maybe he's fancying the chances of us playing Barcelona or Inter or somebody like that, or Dortmund. There's every chance that all 3 of those are going to be coming down to the Europa League. Maybe he fancies the chances of us pulling one of the big boys.
Well, I think I know what you mean when you say that, but just to quickly sideline for a minute here, because last night, Everton played Arsenal. Mm-hmm. A certain Mr. Gray got a goal at the end. A couple of comments here. David, I looked at Damari Gray move yesterday and wondered just how much quicker he seems than Barnes at the minute. That inside move Gray made to take the shot, I just don't see Barnes doing that. And Brookline here, what a Damari Gray goal versus Arsenal. Nice talent evaluation, Brendan. I mean, I've just got to say myself, and I was a big Damari Gray fan, but I don't think he ever proved it on a regular basis for Leicester. And I don't think you can say he had one good move and scored one good goal and, oh, we shouldn't have let him go.
I can't remember there being a deluge of people saying, please don't let him go.
No.
At the time. You know, everyone's an expert in hindsight. I mean, the argument you could make is that he looks more comfortable playing off the left than on the right, whereas he tended to play nearly every game for us on the right-hand side, which means he doesn't have that opportunity to cut inside. And on the point about Barnes, I think Barnes is becoming a little bit predictable at the moment, and he needs to get that out of his game. He needs to develop his game. He's got to take it to the next level. Now, Brendan has already alluded to that. So he's clearly seeing the same thing, that, that Barnes needs to develop over the next couple of years, because if you know what he's going to do, he's always going to look to jink in on his right foot, but he doesn't necessarily do it at pace. So that's what he needs to work on. He needs to just be more creative off the ball. So many of our attacks sort of just ground to a halt because you lose the momentum. When you're steaming forward, you're breaking away, and then you've got someone who really wants the ball to feet rather than running in behind. So Barnes needs to work on that. But, yeah, it was a great goal by Demari yesterday. And just before that, you know, for the first goal, he did exactly the same thing and clipped it off the bar. And Richarlison got the rebound for it. But maybe that's the thing. He didn't get his chance playing on the left-hand side. And by all accounts, you know, he wasn't particularly great behind the scenes either. So there's a lot of things that go into a player's success at a club, and it's not always just about what goes on the pitch.
I'm just about to end the poll now with where will Leicester finish in the group. Third got 22%, second got 44%, and if you're any good at maths, you've worked out first got 33%. So everybody's kind of thinking, well, hell. And I can understand the thoughts in that because of the way our season's gone, that we won't get what's needed. I mean, if you look at, I mean, these are our Napoli's results, and it could go either way. I mean, we started off with that 2-2.
Yeah.
You know, we were 2-0 up, which, you know, you could say was a surprise. It certainly surprised me then. You know, this was Napoli, you know, the powerhouse, you know, one of the big names of Italian football, coming to little old Leicester. And here we were 2-0 up, but of course it didn't last. But I think we would have all have probably taken 2-2 at the start of the game. They then went and lost to Spartak Moscow, and we lost to Legia Warsaw. And we've sat there thinking after that, like, what's going on here? You know, we then managed to get Dak and Letinus getting four goals, otherwise we'd have been embarrassed at Moscow, but we won that 4-3, and they went and beat Legia Warsaw 3-0. They then hammered Legia 4-1 at their place, while we could only draw with Spartak Moscow. Then Spartak Moscow beat them 2-1, and we beat Warsaw 3-1. I mean, take a pin and stick it in a board.
Exactly. It could go anywhere. I'm trying to remember what's the scenario, Chris, that makes us finish second. Is that a draw and then
what happens in the other one? Let me have a look, sir. I don't know whether it actually how it broke it down when I wrote it off earlier, but let me have a look. Leicester, here we go. So Leicester, let me just get rid of that comment. We'll come back to you in a second, Ant, promise. And my Wi-Fi here is going absolutely slow. Leicester will finish first if they win or if both games are drawn. So Leicester will then finish second if they lose and the other game is drawn.
Okay.
Don't know whether that gives a full.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure who's at home in the other one, whether it's Moscow or
Warsaw at home. I was hoping it was in Moscow because it'd be a bit colder. But I mean, what's the best result for Leicester? When Warsaw hosts Moscow, do you think?
Well, I think we need them to draw, don't we? Because then even if we lose, we finish second. I mean, the thing is, you know, if we finish second, we've got an extra game, essentially, haven't we? We've got an extra game that could be against a huge giant of European football. And I don't think we're in it. I think it comes down to what sort of fan you are and what your expectations are. Because if you look at it in a positive light, we're in a no-lose situation. Whatever happens, we're going to be going into continued European football. And if you looked at the conference as a mini league of, okay, I don't know how many games you would have to win that conference. If you took that into a league, let's say you've got to win six games. If we said, right, we've got to win our last six games to get into a Europa League place in the league, then you'd be quite excited about having six games to win the conference to get into the Europa League. It's the same result at the end of it. So I think it's all about having a mindset. And that's where I'm trying to put myself in at the moment, is that even if we go down to the conference, we are five or six games away from being back in the Europa League next season.
If I gave you the choice now,
thinking, Chris.
Yes, yeah, trying to work that out in my head. Mm. As if I gave you the choice now, and I said, "Okay, Craig, here we go." There could be a couple of big names coming down from the Champions League. That's the thing. Yeah. If I give you now, you can have a home and away against. But if we finish second,
and we
therefore have, say, we draw, like you say, let's say we draw Barcelona. Would you sooner have a home and away against a Barcelona and a possible exit, which it possibly would, I think we could say, you know, we certainly would be, or would you sooner not have those glamour ties and go straight into the last 16?
To be honest, I wouldn't mind getting Barcelona because I honestly think that we could do them over two legs because I don't think they are anywhere near the power that they were before. No. But ideally, I think you want to win this game against Napoli and you want to be in the next round of the Europa League because the way things are, you don't need more games, you know. So whoever it is, we don't need an extra game in our season if we can avoid it.
No, I think that's the thing. Let's just go through some last comments now. Where are we here? There's quite a few coming in tonight. Terry says Barnes and Madison should take tips from Evans, Cags and Casper. They're brilliant at passing the ball to each other. I mean, I must admit, that's why when I see that how many passes the team strung together, I tend to ignore that now because most of those are, say, across the back. Scott, Demarai Gray, as Craig stated, played more on the right. Maybe we should have kept Gray and switched Barnes and Gray on the wings. Both could have been better for the club. And good evening, Ant. How the devil are you, sir? This Ant's Leicester fan channel. Get over there and give him a sub and follow him. It's a great channel. This week will either be the end of Brendan or the start of the turnaround. I don't know about this week. I think this month is quite a defining month. And that's what I wrote as a, don't forget, BBC Leicester City homepage, my Tuesday talking point, says December is the month that will define our season. I don't think Brendan will go whatever, to be honest with you. I think, you know, unless we're in real, real danger, you know, I think you stick with your manager till the end of the year. Although Scott says, agree with you, I think if Brendan gets the results needed against Napoli and Newcastle, we've had a defensive performance and he could save himself. But if nothing changes, I fear for him. If he goes, then who would we get in that would be better? Who would come to Leicester? You know, and you've got to remember, we are Leicester fans and we think we're wonderful. And would Claudio have come to Leicester had he not been where he was without of a job and just struggling as the Greek national coach? You know, it's we're not Man United. We can't attract, I don't think, Craig, I don't know about you, the big name.
I don't think so, not at the moment. I think we need consecutive seasons of European football. for us to be even considered that. I think there's a great setup at Leicester. It's a great opportunity for someone who wants to come in with a project and see it through. I'm not sure that's what a lot of the top managers want now. At the end of it, out of all the managers that are out there and their ability, you would probably say Brendan Rodgers is about the best manager Leicester could get, and we've already got him. So, I mean, I think if we were still in Claude Puel land, we would be clamouring to go and get Brendan out of Celtic again. We would be in exactly the same thing. I think sometimes we're very quick to throw people to one side without giving them the chance of turning things around. You know, we seem to be more happy to allow players more time to recover form than we are managers. And for me, unless we are in any danger of going down, I think you stick with him.
I mean, this is the question. Let's say Conte hadn't gone to Tottenham, and the Man United job was there, the Tottenham job was there, and the Leicester job was there. No way would he have come to Leicester, would he?
No, not at all.
And this is the point we're saying. You know, get rid of him, and I'm not happy with him.
I'm not either.
When you watch these,
I've criticised him enough. Yeah,
but there comes a point when you're saying get rid of him. I mean, Myler, you're more than welcome here, Watford fan. Of course, you're welcome. Terry says here, though, have Claudio back, a fan suggested yesterday. No, because we know Claudio, and if you look at his history, he can't do it past two seasons.
I looked at that Villa game and I looked at some of the stats, and we are all frustrated as hell at our defence at the moment and the fact that we cannot keep a clean sheet and we cannot seem to defend from set pieces. I think a lot of that is that they're not particularly getting great protection from in front of them either. I know, take the set pieces out of it. That's where a lot of goals are coming from, so fair enough. But in open play, I think we're giving up too many chances, and I don't think they're getting the protection. I don't think Wilf's at the same level as he has been in previous seasons. I don't think either of the wingers, if you're going to play wingers, they need to be able to work backwards as well. And I don't think Barnes offers anything, or Luckman, to be honest, in terms of protecting their fullbacks. So I did look about. Our strength is going forward at the moment and in terms of chances created. And if we start turning some of those around, it was the same at Southampton. We had that great chance with Vardy. Should have scored. Didn't. You can't blame Brendan for that. I looked at the Villa game, and a couple of weeks before that, Villa played Man City at home. And the stats were quite interesting. We had 16 shots against Villa. Man City had 17. We had 7 shots on target, exactly the same as Man City had against them. So we're creating chances. We have a very good team going forward. What we don't have is a strong enough defence and a little bit of grit and determination. I mean, I picked as the one to watch before the Villa game as John McGinn. And you saw him at the end of the game throwing himself into 2 or 3 challenges and then chasing the ball, not knowing that the whistle had gone, or maybe he did. But we lack that grit. But when you talk about that we're matching Manchester City going forward in terms of chances created, shots on goal, then we're doing something right. We just need to get the balance and tighten up.
Yeah. Myla, don't forget to subscribe if you're liking what you're seeing. Give us a subscribe and you can come back as often as you would like. I like Watford, I've got to be honest with you. I think you change your managers more often than Craig changes his underwear, but you're always welcome. Ant says, and it's obviously Ant, as you've seen for the last couple of posts, isn't the biggest Brendan fan at the moment. There are enough managers out there. I hear what you're saying. We won't get a Conte or a Zidane, but a Gasperini or Ten Hag, although Ten Hag is wanted by Man United. So even a Potter. I mean, what has Graham Potter done that makes him a better manager than Brendan Rodgers? You know, I mean,
Chris, just before Villa played Man City, they played Brighton in their first game, I think, for Gerrard. They had a total of 2 shots on target during that game.
Yeah.
And 6 in total. So he may keep things tight at the back, but he hasn't got it going forward either. So, you know, it's we all want the manager who can have a really tight defence but still plays attractive forward going forward and creating chances. Those managers are few and far between.
They are. And like I say, I'm just not, I don't get at this point the clamour for Potter. I really, really don't. And I mean, I said before the game against Villa, it's almost like the pupil versus the master. But yeah, because Gerrard won that one game 2-1, that doesn't make him a better manager, and we shouldn't be scrambling for getting him in, let's say. It's the same with Damari Gray. 2 good games to Everton.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't mean it was a bad decision to let him go. So David says here, can you tell me what to expect from Evans? Do we expect Evans to do for us, even if he isn't our captain? Why can't we see some initiative from him for a change? Too much standing on the ball and pointing for me. I think you could have written that, couldn't you, Craig?
Exactly, as my weekly charge against Johnny Evans is for doing that. He doesn't move the ball quickly enough for me. And every team in the Premier League and around the world at a certain level, give them a few seconds and they get back into a shape very, very quickly. Just move the ball quicker, please.
But again, is that Brendan saying to him? And I did see it a bit against Villa. There wasn't as much passing at the back. But if he's being told that we play out from the back and he's looking at that as a defender, and like I say, quite often, and Schmeichel's got this same problem, he's looking around for a defender and he'll look for either Evans or Soyuncu, Castagne, whoever, but they're already being marked. And so what does he do with it, Evans? You know, even a player, you know, with his experience, if there's no movement for him and he don't kick it forward because he's being told not to.
It comes down to on-field intelligence, doesn't it? You need not just the man with the ball to have some intelligence. You need 2 other people to try and create space for one of them to get into space and to receive it.
I think a lot of the time that's what we fail to do, to be honest.
We don't move off the ball enough.
No, you're quite right there. Ant says, Brendan Rodgers has gone stale. It happens every club. His third season goes this direction. Just can't see him turning it around. Scott says, ask me here, if you was top or any of the board and you're seeing the results and performances every game, would you stick with Brendan? You've seen what they did to Claudio after the title-winning season. I'm going to answer that in this way, Scott, and then Craig can either agree or disagree with me. When you look where we were in Claudio's second season, and the expectation then was even bigger than it is now, we're only looking at this after 2 top, you know, 5th place finishes. The second season under Claudio, we were looking at following this on from the, winning the actual Premier League itself. We were really flirting there with relegation. I'm not sure whether we actually got into the bottom 3 at 18th, but we were certainly, I think, 17th at one point under Claudio. And that's a big difference to being 10th, 11th, 12th. Which we are at the moment. And when you look at the table, you know, we're 6 points off 7th place. We're 9 points off. That gap isn't appearing huge at the moment, is it, Craig? You know, it's still catchable. And for me, that's why we stay with Brendan. Like you say, we bring somebody in. Yeah, we know we're going to maybe have a bit of a manager bounce, but he's still got the same players to work with. I don't think going out and buying many players in January helps because you're paying over the odds and not all the best players are available. So to me, you stick with Brendan. Review it at the end of the season, by all means. Or if we drop down into 18th, then obviously that is going to be different. But for me, Craig, I don't see the benefit at this. This is as bad a season as it was the second one under Claudio.
No, for me, it's not, as I said right at the start of the program, it's not worth the gamble, because changing the manager is a gamble. Yeah. And I think there's a, while there's similarities, I think there's big differences as well. When you look at Claudio, he didn't have the bigger squad and the quality and depth that Brendan has got to actually change things. So if he couldn't get what he needed out of that team, there wasn't a lot of options for him.
No.
I think what you've got with Brendan now, you've got a bigger squad, you've got players to come back. He's not suddenly become a bad manager. We've just lapsed into some really bad habits at the moment, and we need to kick ourselves out of those. And all it comes down to with any manager, it's, can he get any more out of the players? Can he turn things around? And I think until we are flirting, I think the manager is safe, to be honest. I think, let's not forget, Claudio had his charm, but we know that Brendan is an intelligent football man, and he can make any situation, he can turn any situation to his benefit. I would imagine when he sits down with meetings with the board, he can probably wrap them around his finger in terms of how he's presenting the football club and how things that are going on the training field, this, that, and the other. And God knows what. So I don't think we're at that point at the moment. I think we're getting ahead of ourselves of, again, the level of expectation that we've got. We're having a glitch at the moment. You know, wouldn't everybody take fifth place now? It's funny how fifth place wasn't good enough last season. And that's what I'm saying. It's about your level of expectation and what's come before. I think we just need to all just keep calm and see what the next
two points on that. That, you know, I can remember when we signed Claudio, an Italian statistician or whatever she was came out and said, you'll get two seasons out of Ranieri, then it all goes wrong. And if you look at his history, that's basically had two good seasons, because he came in, he had the team that was already there, so he didn't have to worry about buying players in, and then an iffy season, and then it all went downhill when he started bringing his own players in, which sounds about right. I just think when you win something, as good as you are, you're also relying on other teams being bad.
Mm-hmm.
We know when we won the Premier League, yes, we deserved it. We were 10 points clear. We deserved it. Over the whole season, we were the better team. But would a Man United, if they'd been on song and got a decent manager in and hadn't got the guy that fell over, like he'd been shot at the side of the pitch, if Man City hadn't sat the aforementioned Pellegrini there and announced it with 10 games or whatever it was to go, if Spurs didn't blow it up as they always do, if Chelsea had got a bit, you know, weren't changing managers. So there's all these things to take in. And expectation breeds expectation. I know I say end up sounding like a top, you know, an ESL supporting fan here, that we deserve to be up in fifth. I just think, I don't know. It's maybe it is the reality check season. I've said this many times. Maybe it is our reality check season.
But it's apparently. I mean, you look at Pellegrini there. He's doing a good job now. West Ham fans couldn't wait to get rid of him.
My point, exactly.
They couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Yes.
How many Man U fans have come out recently, because David Moyes is doing well, is saying Moyes should have had more time? However, when Moyes was at the club at West Ham the first time round, they bombed him out. Yeah. It was only afterwards, and they had Pellegrini, that they realise what they'd actually got.
Yes.
So sometimes you have got to be careful about what you wish for, and it is a matter of time. David Moyes has put that team together over a period of time, including a period of being away from the club when he got sacked before he got brought back. I mean, it's difficult. We're all disappointed, and that's an understatement of the way that we keep conceding goals. We are. I just don't see a route to bring someone else in who will. Let's put it another way. Would you be happy now bringing in a manager who you knew had the potential to get us to eighth, best he could do eighth, or a manager who you know has the potential to get us fifth, fourth, if you just stick with it? Because that's maybe what you've got, that you bring someone in who can stabilize it, but he's never going to get that team any higher than just into the top half.
No. And I think, going back to Pellegrini, you look at some of these managers, and I've said this, you know, Mourinho, you know, he's living on past victories. You know, his style isn't as good or as successful as it used to be. But could he do it with a Norwich or with, you know, with their, you know, budget? And it's the same with Pellegrini. Did very well at Man City when he was being given the best players, struggled at West Ham when he had to sort of try and do it with, to say average players is probably wrong, but you know what I'm saying, you know.
I mean that's a fair point Kyle's making there. And to be honest, as I say, I'm not trying to blow smoke up Brendan's backside, because I've been highly critical of him in the past, and I was last season, and I'm not saying that I think he's the bee's knees. I just don't see who you can bring in with any level of confidence that can do something different, you know. And that's the thing. If we're going away and we're talking to Den Haag or whatever, and he likes the project, you know, then great. But you know, there's every chance that the people at our club are probably already doing their scouting, because, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Brendan was being linked with the Man United job, and most of our fans were saying, you know, that he shouldn't go. He should stay and stick it out. That's the football business, though, isn't it? You know, it results are everything at the end of it. So I can't blame anyone for having the view of they'd like a change. I just don't think, unless you've got someone good with some credentials, then it's a gamble.
And you've got to think as well, do we go down the route that a lot of clubs do these days, and they do it all the time in Italy, and obviously it works well for Chelsea, doesn't work as well for Watford, sorry, Myla, you know, is that we change managers every 2 years. Or do we, you know, when Brendan came in, we knew it was a long project. And let's be honest with you, I just think that we knew that Brendan was going to go. Mm-hmm. We knew he may not stay here forever and a day. And I don't think any manager is going to be, you know, we're never going to see another Ferguson or another Wenger again, whether at the club that sort of long. But I just, you know, you've got to give him time, I think, you know. And it's like, you know, they're saying, like, oh, we're going to be in Europe in 5 years. You know, the owner said it when we took over, and then we got it, the day in four. And you're doing it early. You know, maybe Brendan didn't expect that we were going to be top so often, you know, in the top four for as long as we were for two seasons. And he's kind of thinking, well, you know, this has come earlier than I thought. Christmas has come early, you know.
Again, you know, the point about Puel, I think they got rid of Puel because they knew that they were getting Rodgers. And that's what I'm talking about. If they've got one lined up, then he will be out of here. I mean, there's no doubting it. What I would like to see is our best 11 on the pitch. You know, I think we probably underestimate the huge loss that Fofana was in that in that pre-season friendly, and that must have knocked everyone, to be honest. And we got through the first game against Wolves. You know, it wasn't a classic, and we've sort of never recovered from that. We've had a good result here and there, but you're right. You know, time may show that that Brendan has peaked here, like he has at other clubs. But there needs to be someone of if we're the level of club that we think we are, then there's got to be someone of stature ready to come in and take over. And I don't see that many people at the moment who are not a gamble. There's managers we'd love to see. Chances of us getting them are very slim.
Yeah, and I just think as well, are Leicester, and let's take off our blue-tinted spectacles here, are Leicester a top four team? And if we're honest, no, we're not. And would we ever be able to compete at that sort of level? Possibly not, because we haven't got the finances that, you know, Man United have got, that Spurs have got even. You know, we can compete to a point and we can get the young players in and then we're going to lose them. But we have to, I think, take these you know, these blue-tinted spectacles off and look at it real. I mean, Kyle says here, I would drive into Manchester myself. I don't know what he's done that is really... I'm annoyed with him, yes, but as Ant said there, I'm not a Rodgers out fan, but he is, you know, we are going through a tough patch at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, I say Gasperini, you know, he's mentioned a couple of times there, and obviously he's the manager at... Atalanta, but Atalanta, you know, you could say he would be a good fit for us in terms of the fact that they tend to bring players through and then move them on. You know, that they have that. That's their role. That's their model. It's a very similar model to us. Have players for a couple of seasons, buy them cheap, sell them at a profit. So he would fit that mold. So yeah, I mean, it may be that it's a fair name to throw into the ring. I don't think there's many others around there.
I just don't want to get to a position where we are, you know, we are going through managers as we did post Ranieri. You know,
and the other thing will be it comes down to the relationships as well. Now, we don't really know what happened with Ranieri, but a lot of people were saying that the relationships with the players are strained. It may be that Brendan's got a very good relationship with the players, maybe too good, you know, and that's why they're not being driven as hard as they should be probably being driven, because Brendan seems to want to be their friend, and that's something that I really don't like. I would like to see someone more animated on the sideline than Brendan is. But then you've got that thing of you risk losing players as well. So there's so many things that come into it. It's very easy for us as fans to just say, throw someone out and get someone in. You know, that's what the people at the top of the club. And so far, they've done pretty good for us. So, you know, I think we're in their hands.
St Etienne, by the way, under Claude Puel, are now bottom of the...
I know, the fans want him out as well, yeah.
Yeah, Atlanta are fourth, having won fifth in a row. But look, we're football fans, we're fickle, you know. Come. I mean, I actually said again, and I do keep giving it a boost, please go and read it and let me know what you thought. So our BBC website, Leicester City Football Club homepage, I said a typical Leicester December will beat Napoli... and we'll avoid the playoff. We will beat Liverpool in the Carabao Cup. We'll beat Man City and probably draw with Liverpool in the league, but we'll lose to Newcastle and Everton. That's a Leicester. That's a Leicester month, isn't it? That'd be a typical Leicester month. But two questions to end on, Craig, and I thank you because you stayed longer than we normally do. Two questions to finish with you. One. Stick with Rodgers, yes or no?
For me, yes, at the moment, yeah.
Yes. And secondly, result for Thursday?
I'll go 1-1, but I've got a feeling that we may get beat and end up in the conference, but I'll go 1-1 because I can't predict us to lose.
Oh, so you're agreeing with Emilio. I can't predict us to lose. I just think we might, looking at how they've performed recently, I think we might just take advantage and say, this is typical of Leicester. It'll be another false dawn. We'll go, I think we'll beat them 2-1, and then Newcastle will come and beat us at the weekend. That is called being a Leicester fan, isn't it?
It is.
You know, Craig, we're not going to see you on Friday, unfortunately. You're off, so have a really good weekend, whatever you're doing. Are you going to be at the Newcastle match?
Yes, I'll be there, yeah.
You'll be there. Enjoy it. Hopefully, you'll have 3 points to celebrate. And I will see you next week as per normal.
Brilliant. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, everyone. Cheers.
Cheers, Greg. Thanks for staying. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Thanks to Craig there. Scott goes 2-3 to Leicester. I don't think my heart would do that. David, I think, will nick it due to all their injuries. I have a feeling we might just nick it. And Facebook user says 2-1 to Leicester here. I tell you what, I played this earlier. I'm going to play it again before we go. It's a shootout. It's the OK Corral. Not gonna lie, I'm as nervous as hell though. we could end up, we've still got the Conference League to fall back on, and I'd be quite happy to take part in that. If we win it, it's a European trophy. It's like, you know, it's a bit like the English Super Cup. If we'd have lost that, it would have just been a pre-match Charity Shield friendly. But because we won it, it is the English Super Cup. Guys, we're going to be back in 25 minutes. Me and Julian Watts, ex-player, we are going to be looking at how the season's gone for a lot of the, well, every single team in the Premier League. Good, bad, or are they having an ugly season? We will see. Thanks to everybody that joined in. Thanks to Scott for watching and joining in and monitoring the chat there for me. As always, thank you so much. Milo, thanks for joining in, and good luck for Watford. I don't know what the music is, but it does go with it. There is a site where you can get special music, as in you don't have to pay to use it. So it was one off those. Fezlian, I think it is, actually. Anyway, see you in 25 minutes. Thanks to everybody. I'll go and get changed so it doesn't look like I'm wearing the same thing all the time. Yeah. See you with Julian at 9. Good night. Thanks very much.
Thank you for watching. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City.
Come on, you foxes!